All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 38. Exodus chapter 38. And while you're turning, there is another sympathy note that we need to pray for, a family that we need to pray for. Pray for the family of Janet Miller. She passed away on Thursday, and she was 91 years of age. Good, full life. And the funeral service will be this Wednesday at 12:30, viewing at 11:30, and then the service at 12:30 at the Myers-Dubereau Funeral Home over in town. And then Janet and her son Lee came here until she was just not able to come due to health issues. Sat right back there. And let's remember to pray for Lee and the rest of the family at her passing. All right, let's begin reading here, please, in verse 1. And you follow along as I read. Oh, by the way, I preached Friday night down at Granite for their high school graduation, and Brother Rossi wanted me to tell everybody hello, and I told him I would, so hello. And now don't tell me to tell him hello, because I'm not going back down there again, but he sends his greetings, and he's doing well, and wanted to let you know he's thinking of you. All right, let's take our Bibles, look here at chapter 38, and let's begin at verse 1. And the Bible says, "And he made an altar of the burnt offering of shittim wood. 5 cubits was the length thereof, and 5 cubits the breadth thereof. And it was 4 square, and 3 cubits the height thereof. And he made the horns thereof, of the 4 corners of it. The horns thereof were of the same, and he overlaid it with brass. Verse 3, and he made all the vessels of the altar, the pots and the shovels and the basins and the flesh hooks and the fire pans, all the vessels thereof made he of brass. Verse 4, and he made for the altar a brazen grate of network under the compass thereof, beneath unto the midst of it. So brazen, all right, look here, let me just make sure everybody understands this. Brazen means of brass. All right, so when it says that he made for the altar a brazen gate, or grate, that means it was made of brass. All right, so don't let the word there throw you. We normally don't use the word brazen today, but back in King James days, that was a very popular word. They used it regularly, but it means of brass. All right, so I looked that one up. And then look at verse 5. It says, and he cast 4 rings for the 4 ends of the grate of brass to be places for the staves. And he made the staves of shittim wood and overlaid them with brass. And he put the staves into the rings on the sides of the altar and bare it withal. He made the altar hollow with boards. All right, now look at this next one. All right, so I read all these just to show you all the different things that are being discussed here. He's talking about the things that were placed in the tabernacle. All right, these are the things that Moses put in the tabernacle. These were important things. Every one of them, as I have taught you over the years. Every single one of these had a purpose. They were used to picture in some way or in some fashion the Lord Jesus and what the Lord Jesus did for us. And so I read you the first seven verses so that you see that there is a consistency. There is a plan that God is using here in explaining all of the various items that were inside the tabernacle. All right, now look at verse 8. And here is a specific mention of a specific piece of furniture, and I want to read it for you, and then I would like to preach the message about verse 8. All right, look at it, please. It says, and he, that's Moses, made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, and the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. All right, now let me read that again. Put your thinking caps on now and see the pictures here. See, just envision this in your mind as I read it. And he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass. In other words, what it stood on was also formed of brass. All right, so the laver was brass. Let me go ahead and explain this to you. A laver is a big bowl. All right, it's used for washing. A laver, and it's used for washing. All right, so he made the laver of brass, but he also made the stand upon which the laver sat of brass. All right, now the next phrase tells us how he made it. All right, look at this. It says he made it of the looking glasses of the women. What? He made it of the looking glasses of the women. Now, I'm going to come back and show you that in just a moment. But then we notice something about these women. It says that they assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, they could not go in. All right? Only the priests were allowed to go in. And the women were not priests. But what these women did was they stood at the door and they looked in because they wanted to see what was going on. All right? They were interested. They cared. And they wanted to see what was going on. Even though they could not be physically inside, they stood at the door and looked in so that they could follow what was happening. Now, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Can I have your mirror? Can I have your mirror? All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us. Father, we ask now your richest blessings to be upon us. We thank you for your wonderful word, and I pray now that you will bless it. Help us to clearly see the picture. Help us to clearly see what you had in mind when you asked Moses to build this brazen laver. And Father, I pray that it will speak to our hearts today. And I pray that we will leave here more consecrated and more dedicated to you than we were when we walked in. So Father, speak to our hearts and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are several things being discussed in this chapter about some of the various items that were placed inside the tabernacle. Everything is that is listed here normally has a little explanation about it. It goes into a little bit of detail about the items. And so there are several, many pictures that we can draw from what Moses is telling us in this chapter. Now, this is basically what we see in verse 8, where we learn about the brazen, the brass laver. Now, just what is a laver? Well, a laver is a bowl. It can be a big laver, a big bowl, or it can be a small laver or a small bowl. But a laver is a bowl. Now, I've told you about growing up for the first about 8 years, 7 years of my life down in stereotypical West Virginia. My grandfather lived as far up Little Coal Fork Holler as you could get. When you got to his house, you had to stop or you fell off the earth. All right? It was just that simple. He lived very rough. There was no electricity for the longest time, and there was no running water. Well, there was running water. It's what you ran out to the wellhouse to get, but there was no running water. And you went out to the well house and you took a bucket and you put it on the end of a three-pronged hook and you dropped that bucket down into the well and you filled it up with water, then you pulled it up. And he would then take that water that we got out of the well and would go inside the kitchen. There was two rooms in the house. There was a living room slash den slash bedroom slash sitting room, and then there was the kitchen. And the kitchen was a kitchen. It was where you took a bath, so it was a bathroom. You went to the outhouse when you needed to, but inside, especially in the winter time, you took a bath inside. You didn't want to go outside, it freezes to death, but that little two-room house served a lot of purposes. And my grandfather had an old wood stove it looked like a stove that you would use that you would plug into the wall, electric stove, only there were no burners. None of it. There was these little cast iron lids, and you took this little tool and you stuck it down in there to lift that up if you needed to. And he would get a fire going in that stove, put the water on on the top of the stove, and then he would pour that water into what he called the wash pan. Now, I can still remember that wash pan. It was white, and it had a nick in it over up near the rim. It had a nick in it. I'll never forget that wash pan. And he would stand there every morning, and he would wash his face, and he would shave every morning using that wash pan. And that wash pan was a laver, all right? That was a laver. The brazen or made of brass laver was a large basin filled with water for the priest to wash their hands and their feet whenever they went inside to serve the Lord in the tabernacle. And so that brazen laver was always filled with water whenever they stopped. And whenever they set up the tabernacle, it was one of the first things that they did was they set that laver at the door of the tabernacle. And it was there so that the priest could, before entering, stop, wash their hands and scoop water out and wash their feet, pour the water upon their feet. And it was all done for the purpose of showing that they were clean as they entered in to serve the Lord. Folks, we need to understand that this cleansing ritual was just that. It was a ritual. It was something they did simply to make a point that they were clean before God. When they went in to serve the Lord, they were clean before the Lord. They did not have a bar of Dial soap there. They did not have any of that squirt goo that you ladies use. No, they just took the water. It was a picture, and it was showing that they were clean as they were going about the service of the Lord. So as they stopped at the laver and washed their hands and their feet, they were signifying that they were clean before the Lord. The idea was, if a person is going to serve the Lord, this matter of sin has to be taken care of. And so the priest symbolically stopped and washed their hands and their feet as a picture of the Lord Jesus forgiving us of sin, so he can use us as a clean vessel. All right, now does everybody have that? Everybody got that? That's simple, isn't it? That's a simple little picture. All right, so that priest, now think about it, that priest had been outside. He didn't live in the tabernacle, all right? He didn't live there. He just went in there daily when it was set up, when they stopped. He went in to serve, but he didn't live there. No, he lived somewhere else. So he was outside in the world. And the idea is, before he comes in to serve, he washes his hands and his feet at the laver, signifying that he was ready now to serve the Lord. Now, the middle part of the verse teaches us something else that I want to make sure you understand. You'll notice here that the laver was made. All right, look at verse 8 again. The laver was made by the mirrors or the looking glasses of the women folks. All right, now I'm glad that Moses said it was the ladies, all right, not a bunch of vain men. All right, that was free, didn't cost anything. But nonetheless, I'm glad that it was not saying that the men folk had their mirrors out. All right, now what did they do? Well, what was a looking glass, if you will? What was a mirror, if you will, back in those days? Well, their mirrors were not made of glass like our mirrors are today. Their mirrors were simply brass, and they were polished, they were buffed, they were shined. And a lady could look at that polished brass, and she could see herself clearly. And that was her mirror back in Bible times. All right, so Moses sent out word that he needed some mirrors in order to make the laver. And so these ladies willingly gave up their brass looking glasses, gave them up, and Moses took them and melted them and shaped them and polished them, and then made the laver out of it. Now, folks, listen, these people back then would polish that brass so highly and so brightly that you could hold it up to your face and your image reflected in a very clear fashion, enabling a lady to clearly see her reflection and use the mirror same way we use the mirrors today. Now, I want you to notice, here's my message now, I want you to notice three things about the women who gave up their mirrors so this laver could be built and filled with water so that the priest could keep themselves clean before God. All right, so three things about these women. First of all, I want you to notice the sacrifice in the women. Notice the sacrifice in the women. The verse says, he made the laver of brass and the foot of it of brass of the looking glasses of the women. Where did that brass come from? The ladies gave them up. They sacrificed and they gave their mirrors to Moses for his use. In other words, folks, a bunch of women had to give up their mirrors in order to make the laver. Now, we all know how important a mirror is in assisting us as we get ready each morning to start the day. I dare say that every person in this room this morning and every person who is listening to this message on a CD or on the internet, I will guarantee that every one of us stood for some time. I'm sure it was buried, but all of us stood before a mirror this morning. As I was preparing the message, I thought about just how important a mirror is to me. I'm so thankful that I live in the dispensation of hairspray. You know? Yeah, I'm so thankful. I'm at the place and spray mode of life right now. All right? I place it and I say, ooh, 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 and quickly squirt it with the hairspray so it'll stay where I put it. And if I don't do that, then I got hair flying everywhere within about 2 minutes. But the truth is, we all stand in front of the mirror every morning. I use the mirror to comb my hair. I use the mirror to shave as I comb my four hairs and then spray it, you know. I tease them. Yeah, that's why it looks full like it does. But nonetheless, I use a mirror. So do you. So do you. I use a mirror every morning as I apply my makeup and my eyeshadow. All right, just making sure you're listening. And you are. You see, the truth is, folks, without a mirror, a woman and a man, but a woman is going to have a difficult time looking nice and ready to face the day. If she doesn't have a mirror, then how is she going to see what she looks like? So in sacrificing their mirrors, these women gave up, listen to me now, gave up their glory in order that the work of the Lord might be accomplished. Isn't that something, folks? I mean, isn't that something? They forsook their own vanity in order to honor the Lord. Listen, dear friend, if you would serve the Lord well, you must be willing to give up your own personal glory. Amen. If you're going to serve the Lord, you must be willing to give up your own personal glory. And you know, there are a lot of folks who simply cannot get themselves out of the way to serve the Lord. They can't get themselves out of the way. in their own mind, their own personal glory is more important than God's glory. And we know God is worthy of all praise and all honor and all majesty and all glory. I mean, after all, folks, God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. God is the one who threw the stars out into space. And God is the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. But not only that, folks, God also created man out of nothing. Think of that. Out of nothing. Nobody on this planet can do that. The most brilliant minds in the world cannot take nothing and create something. But God did. But not only that, folks, think of this. God also created this wonderful plan of redemption for you and for me. He created this wonderful plan of redemption that reached down into the mire, into the pit, and it lifted us out, and it created in us a new heart and put a new song in our lips. That eternal life. God did that. You didn't do it. El Papa did not do it. The church did not do it. The preacher did not do it. But the Lord did. The Lord did. You see, it's amazing when you read your Bible. For example, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, we read also in the book of the Revelation, how that God created these creatures who are around the throne of God in heaven. And they are there right now, folks. They were there when Isaiah saw them when he was in the temple. And in chapter 6 in verse 3, and he said when he looked at the throne that those creatures that were made by God were standing there crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." But we, on the other hand, we have nothing in ourselves to glory over. You see, even the best of men are still sinners before God. And yet so few people today are willing to sacrifice their own glory. We want to have someone tooting our horn for us. And if we can't have somebody tooting our horn for us, well, then we'll just toot our own horn. That's how we are. And that's biblical, you know. He who tooteth not his own horn, his horn shall not be tooted. I don't know where that verse is, but it sounds biblical, doesn't it? Folks, if this were our world today, if what I'm reading here was our world today, I just wonder how many folks would give up their mirrors. I really do. Let me remind you, God said in Isaiah 42:8, that my glory will I not give to another. My glory will I not give to another. Those who are seeking self-glory are not serving God, but serving themselves. Thank the Lord for these women being willing to give up their mirrors. These women who were willing to throw away their own vanity in service for the Lord. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice, secondly, the Savior in these willing women. We saw first the sacrifice, but now secondly, I want you to notice the Savior. You see, folks, we can see a picture of the Lord Jesus in these special women who were willing to give up their mirrors. You say, well, Pastor, how do you see that? All right, listen carefully. These special women gave up their glory in order to provide cleansing. That was the whole reason they gave their mirrors up. Moses took their looking glasses, their mirrors, and made the laver. What was the purpose of the laver? For the priests to wash themselves before they went in to serve. And so these women gave up their glory, their looking glasses, in order to provide cleansing. These women were willing to give their brass looking glasses, their hand mirrors, so that they could be melted down and fashioned into this big brass laver where the priests would stop and ceremonially cleanse themselves before doing their duty before the Lord inside the tabernacle. And folks, what a picture these ladies are of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in order for us to be cleansed of our sin, the Lord Jesus gave up his glory. And he came to this earth so he could die on the cross in shame and pay our sin debt. The Apostle Paul talks about this. Take your Bible, please, and go over to the book of Philippians in the New Testament. Philippians for just a moment. Philippians chapter 2. These are some of my favorite verses in the Bible right here. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see this. All right, look at chapter 2. In verse 5, Paul says, are you there? No? Yes? Maybe? All right, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, say, oh me. Somebody get John a coloring book. All right, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5, chapter 2, verse 5, Philippians. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, now he's going to tell us now about the Lord, about his mindset. All right, who, watch this now, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, you know why? Because he was God, that's why. All right, that's not complicated. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he was God. But made, didn't say was made, no, he made. He's the one that made himself of no reputation. And he's the one who took upon himself the form of a servant. And he's the one who was made in the likeness of men. In other words, he became one of us. Now, can you imagine God becoming flesh, one of us? Wow. Now, watch this. And being found in fashion as a man, again, we are told, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Folks, notice what the Lord Jesus did when he left heaven and came to this earth. Paul says that the Lord Jesus made himself of no reputation. Imagine it, folks. The eternal Son of the living God. God in the flesh left heaven, and came to this earth for one purpose. And that one purpose was to die. He came here to die. He left all the splendor and all the glory of heaven to come to this earth to be born in a lowly manger. The Son of God was not even born in a hospital. No, he came and was born in a manger, in a place where the animals were brought in for the night. God, the Son, was not even born in a palace where kings and queens lived as they ruled the kingdom. But no, the Savior of mankind was born in a lowly stable with sheep and cattle and smelly old camels as witnesses to his birth. Think about it, folks. You talk about humbling yourself. Go over and read the first chapter of Revelation. Go over and read the fourth chapter of Revelation. Go over and read the fifth chapter of Revelation. And Jesus left all of that to come here and be born in a stable. Wow. You say, Pastor, why would he do that? Well, he humbled himself so that he might cleanse us from our sin. You see, those girls gave up their mirrors and Moses made the laver out of them. And the priests would come and cleanse themselves before going inside. And folks, our blessed Savior left the eternal glories of heaven and came to this old earth where he was scorned and hated and executed on the cross, where he was despised of men. Why did he do that? He did that so you and I could be cleansed from our sin. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. He willingly gave up himself to come and die for us. Pastor Sterling used to sing a song all the time. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Thank God for that. And folks, that ought to inspire all of us to serve the Lord without seeking personal glory. In verse 5 of Philippians 2, Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." He was willing to give up his glory for us, so certainly we should be willing to give up our glory for him. And then thirdly, I want you to notice the spirituality of these women. The spirituality of these women. Look at the last part of the verse, please. Moses tells us that these women assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What's that mean? Well, it's telling us that these ladies who gave up their mirrors were really something special. Folks, remember now, there's three million Jews that came out of Egypt. All right, now if you, let's divide that into half. So you got 1.5 million men and 1.5 million women thereabouts. All right, now if you had 1.5 million volunteers to give up their looking glasses, well, you got enough brass to completely brass plate the Middle East. All right, so he only took what was needed, I'm sure. Now I want you to think about this. How many women gave up their mirrors? I'm sure that, you know, just like today, there were some of them sitting there going, "He wants to what? He wants me to do what? Well, I'm not giving up my mirror." But then there were some others who said, "Well, yeah, I'll gladly give up my mirror. I have no problem with that." You see, these women cared. You know, they cared about their relationship with God. They cared about what was going on. I mean, they saw God split the Red Sea. You know, they saw God send the plagues in Egypt. And now Moses says, I need your looking glasses. And boy, these ladies came and said, no problem. You can have mine. And they gave up their mirrors. They were willing to give up their mirrors. And these ladies who gave up their mirrors were something special, folks. Why did Moses feel it necessary in this eighth verse to tell us where the brass came from that was used to make the laver? Why did he feel it necessary? Listen, he did not have to tell us. And I want you to think about this. If he had not told us in verse 8 where he got the brass, when you read the verse, would you have stopped and scratched your temple and then said, I wonder where Moses got the brass to make this laver? No, you wouldn't have. You'd have never went there, would you? You would never have thought that far through it. You would never have thought it over that deeply. But their dedication to the Lord is called out and recognized by Moses. These were special people. These were special women who loved God and who were 100% on board with what was going on. Oh, that we had folks that were 100% involved in what's going on. Man, we could turn the world upside down if we did. Their dedication was called out by Moses. And then we see these women all standing around at the door doing their best to look in. You see, they wanted to see what was happening. They didn't want to miss anything, but they were not permitted by the law to go inside, but yet they wanted to see. So they came and stood at the door and looked in. Fascinating. You see, they were devoted. And it takes that kind of devotion and that kind of dedication to sacrifice your own personal glory. Those who want glory or personal recognition in their service are exposing the fact that they are not very devoted to the Lord. You won't see them assembled together at the door of the tabernacle for worship. Amen. As a matter of fact, in most cases, the only time you'll see them in the house of the Lord is when they're scheduled to do something. It's not God's glory they're concerned about. It's their own glory they're concerned about. In one church that I pastored, well, it was the one out in Illinois. When I first went there, my first Sunday, I was shocked. Literally shocked, because I'm sitting there on the platform and the choir comes out and they got these great big long blue pajamas on, robes, great big long blue ones. Oh, they were pretty things. And I remember turning around going, what? Independent Baptist Church. And here they come. Wearing robes. Now they sang well. Sang real well. Had a good choir. But ooh, that chafed me. But I was a new preacher. I couldn't get everybody mad at me first week, you know. So I waited 2 weeks. No, it was a little longer than that. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. And this is when I put my my foot down. This is when I put the hammer down. I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the choir, and I'm thinking to myself, who's that guy? I'd never seen him before. Well, who's that woman right there? I've never seen her before. Who's that guy over there in the tenor section? Well, he's a total stranger. I haven't met him. Has he been on vacation or something? How come I haven't met him? Been there now 3 months. And I'm just sitting there looking. Some of them I didn't know. And I don't remember why, but I was sitting down on the front row instead of up on the platform. And that's when I noticed that I had strangers in my choir. Oh, they looked good. Had them little blue robes on. Looked good. But there were people there I didn't know from Adam. And so they came down after they sang, and we were singing a congregational number, and they went out a side door, and there was a little closet, little walk-in closet thing, and that's where they took their robes off and hung them up. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to see what goes on out there. So while we were singing, I slipped over and opened the door to hold the door open for everybody to go in. And I nodded at them as they went by. You know, thank you, you're welcome. Thank you, you're welcome. Well, one guy walked by me. I didn't know him from Adam. He didn't even do anything. He tried to ignore me. Kind of hard to do when I'm standing there holding the door for you. So they all went inside and started hanging up their pajamas. And I walked over and stood in the door. And I just stood there and watched them. And did you know, even with me standing there, five or six of them did not go in the auditorium for the service. They went out and got in their cars and went home. Now, sometimes you'd see them on Sunday night, but they'd do the same thing. And then one Wednesday night, I thought, all right, I'm going to put the end to this. So I told the choir director that I was going to stick around for choir practice, and I had a word to say. And so I'm standing there with my word, which turned into many. And these five people come in for practice. Can you imagine that? Don't come to prayer meeting, but come to choir practice. You see, it's not about the Lord, it's about them. It's not about your service for God, it's about music, which is an idol to so many people. Can I remind you who the music director was in heaven? No relation. Wasn't Brian. No, it was the devil. He knows his music. He knows how to use music. So I told them, I said, this is the way it is. This is the way it's going to be. And I told them, I know what you're doing, but you're not doing it anymore. And if you are not going to come to church, then you're not going to be on the platform. Amen. Well, I became the Antichrist. Hated. Oh, my goodness. But sometimes you got to do right. Yes, right. And you just have to take a stand. And so I did. And I had so many people in that choir who came up after that Wednesday night, and they put their arms around me and they hugged me and said, thank the Lord, Pastor. Finally, somebody stood up. Amen. to these people. Well, we need to give God the glory, folks. It's not about us. You come and sing in this choir, it ought to be for God's glory, not your own. You get up here and sing special music, it ought to be for God's glory, not yours. You're welcome. And folks, this kind of thing happens everywhere. You know, whenever one is interested in spiritual things, you're not going to be interested in your own personal glory. And these gals came and they willingly gave up their mirrors. They said, you know, my glory is not that important. It really isn't. Don't you remember Paul said a woman's hair is her glory? And she said, I'm willing to give my glory up. I don't need this. Here, you can take this. I don't need this. And Moses took those mirrors, melted it down, and made a laver. Why? So those priests could go and wash their hands and their feet as they served God. And those dear old ladies, man, they came over and they said, one of them said, you know, we're not allowed to go in there. I don't need to go in. I just need to look in. I just need to see what's going on. And boy, they walked over and all those little heads sticking their heads as somebody held the curtain back. Wow. I don't know about you, but those gals blessed my heart. Thank God for the ladies. You know, we'd be in a mess if it wasn't for the ladies in our churches. You know why? Because a lot of men won't take the leadership. They just sit back and say, let them do it. Let somebody else do it. And so the ladies, thank God, they'll do it. They'll do it. Need somebody to teach a class? I'll do it. You rarely ever hear a man say, I'll do it. No, it's always, I'll do it. And thank God for you all. I don't know where we'd be. We stand up here and make announcements. We need nursery workers. I'll do it. My point is, folks, these ladies were seriously concerned about honoring God. And I think it's time that we got serious about honoring God. Let's bow for prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. No one looking around for just a moment. I wonder how many of us will say, preacher, God's speaking to my heart right now. I want to live my life for God's glory. I don't want it to just be about me. I want my life to be about the Lord. And I want you to pray for me, preacher. Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you all over this building this morning? Amen. 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 God bless all of you. God bless you so much. Amen. Thank you. Let me ask one more question. You say, Pastor, I'm not 100% sure that I know the Lord is my Savior. If I died right now, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. So, preacher, would you pray for me this morning? Listen, I'll not embarrass you. Nobody will know who you are, just you, me, and God. But I will pray for you. I promise that. And I'll ask the Lord to help you. So if you could not, if you do not know for sure that you're going to heaven, would you raise your hand right now and let me pray for you and ask the Lord to help you? Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. If I died right now, I just don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody like that? All right. Father, we thank you now for the Word of God, and I pray that what has been said here this morning will lodge in our hearts. And Father, help us to live our lives so that you get the glory. Thank you for the Lord Jesus and for what he did when he sacrificed, when he gave up all of heaven and all that glory that was in heaven directed at him, simply to come to this earth and humble himself and die on the cross for our sin. And Father, thank you for Jesus. I pray that you'll bless our folks who have raised their hand. And Father, just help us to draw near to you this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.